For I have come to you with a strong desire and a holy fire to ignite within you a passion and a light that shines bright. For I want my zeal to consume you. I've made my ministers a flame of fire. And with my holy fire, I will take you higher and higher. There are no limits in faith. Trust me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all my ways, and I will direct your path. I will order your steps. I will show you the way. I will take you by your hand and lead you. So rest, rest, so that you can be your best. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen.
Well, last week we started to talk about God and His promises. All right? And I'm going to give you a few things about promises. And we're going to talk about unlocking the promises of Pentecost, which God kind of changed this afternoon. You know, on Sunday, I had a message prepared, and at 6:30 in the morning, God changed it. And so, you know, you have to be willing to go with His flow. You know, whose agenda is more important, ours or God's? You know, which one's going to pack a greater, which one's going to have more power? God's agenda, right? So, I mean, I prepare things, but if it's not what God wants, He gets first dibs, right? So it's what He wants. That's the most important thing. And as you grow in your relationship with God, you'll discover how God speaks to you. You know, I've learned how God speaks to me. And I can recognize when God is talking to me. Amen? Well, anyway, let me give you some things about God's promises, and then we're going to go to where we need to go tonight, all right? Did you know that God's got lots of promises? You know, I've heard different statistics. Some say there's about 7,000 promises in the Bible. You know, I've heard other numbers. I don't know. I haven't counted them all, but there's a lot in here, right? And on every promise that God has in His Word, not one has or will ever fail. It doesn't matter how long it takes to happen, what God promised will come to pass. Even if it takes a couple centuries or a couple millennia for a Savior to be born of a virgin. I mean, oh, God promised that a long time ago. He told Eve, He said, your seed is going to crush the enemy's head. And God used a line of righteous people to bring the Savior to the earth through. And there came a moment in time when a virgin who was part of that righteous line, it was the right moment and the right time, just as God promised. It came to pass. Okay? So not one of God's promises can fail. I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 3. The Lord is what? And notice, he shall establish you and keep you from evil. Not only is he faithful, but he does the heavy lifting. He brings it to pass. He does the work. You know what? Your work is to believe. Your work is to take what he said into your heart as so. And his work then is to bring it to pass. God is faithful. That has to do with his promises. If he wasn't faithful, his promises would fail. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. Why? Because sometimes as human beings, we're fickle. We're fickle, right? We go up and down like a roller coaster at Hershey Park. And so sometimes we need to be established. And we need to be kept from evil. All right? Number two, God is able to do what he said he can do. He's got the ability. Go to Romans 4. Romans 4. Do you believe God is able? He can do what he said. If he said it, he can do it. Look at verse 21. Talking about Abraham, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. See, you've got to get to that point where you're fully persuaded, where you're convinced, where you are sold beyond a shadow of a doubt, fully persuaded that what God promised, he is able to do. Okay? God is able to do what he says. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you an hors d'oeuvre before we get to the main meal tonight. And the hors d'oeuvres are so good that you can't wait to get to the meal. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 20. All God's promises come through Christ. All right? Christ is the means by which we receive what God promised. Okay? So all you got to do is put trust in Christ, faith in Christ, rely on Christ to get what God promised. All right? In other words, Christ is the key that unlocks the door. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the what? Of who? Are where? In him. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. In other words, any promise that God said is always a yes. If you can find what God promised in his word, his answer for you to have it is yes and amen. Yes and so be it. All his promises in him are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Unto the glory of God by us. When you know that God is going to say yes to anything he promised you, you're going to give him glory. It's going to excite you to praise. So all of God's promises come through Christ. Okay? And then number four, the final point on God's promises is God's promises have infinite value. Right? Buzz Lightyear likes God's promises because he says to infinity and beyond. God's promises has infinite value. Eternal value. Never-ending value. Okay? Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's see the value that this writer, by the Holy Ghost, puts on God's promises. Verse 4, 2 Peter 1, 4, whereby are given to who? Say, unto me. Say, God gives me exceeding great and precious promises. Woo! Exceeding great and precious. Those are three incredibly powerful words. Exceeding great. I mean, he could have just said great, but it's so beyond great, exceeding great, and precious promises. Notice the value of these. By these promises, these exceeding great and precious promises, you can be a partaker of the what nature? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when you believe these promises, you get a new nature. You become a new creature. God gives you a new feature, right? So God's promises have infinite value. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 8 tells us Jesus is a mediator of a new covenant with better promises. Right? Now, how many would rather have a dollar or a 50-cent piece? Who'd rather have a 50-cent piece? Who'd rather have a dollar? See, a dollar is better. Why? It includes the 50-cent piece, but it's got more. So if Jesus is a mediator of better promises, that means the promises that we have under the new covenant, they include the old, but they got so much more. They're better. Now, hallelujah. Woo! Let's go to Luke 24. Okay? And we must unlock the promises of... Okay? Pentecost is where God poured out His Spirit on all flesh, right? He included everybody. When God does things, He's not just thinking of one person. He is thinking of all. Are you flesh? Then God poured His Spirit all on you. Okay? Pentecost was a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. Okay? Joel prophesied many years ago that God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh and His sons and daughters would prophesy. Right? Something would happen with the pouring out of His Spirit. It would stir something on the inside and something would come out. Okay? Now Luke 24 gives us an indication of the promise of Pentecost. Okay? Let's go to verse 45. We have two people who are walking on the road to Emmaus. Jesus died, He was buried, and He rose again. And unbeknownst to these two people, Jesus started to walk with them. And they were having a conversation about the events that had just taken place. They did not know it was Jesus. They were just minding their business. And in the midst of their conversation, we get to verse 45. It says, then opened He their understanding. You know, there are times when we can't see something until He opens our understanding. God wants to open your understanding tonight. Okay? That they might understand the Scriptures. Does God want you to understand Scripture? If you don't understand Scripture, will He help you? He will open your understanding. Why? He's got all the keys. He's got the key to any locked door. If the Lord opens a door, no man can shut it. Right? Okay. So, He opened up their understanding. And He said to them in verse 46, and said unto them, thus it is written. Everybody say, it is written. You know what God wrote? He wrote promises. Okay? And thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. If Christ didn't do what He did, we could never lay claim to the promises that God has made. But because Christ did what He did, we now can lay claim. We can possess. We can have all of God's promises because they're yes and amen. Okay? Now, verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. These guys got to witness this unfold. Okay? Verse 49, and behold, I send the what? The promise of my Father upon you. Woo! God sent you His promise. He put His promise in a package called the Bible. And the Bible is chock full of things that God promised. Okay? He said, I send the promise of my Father where? Upon you. Say, upon me. Okay? Look at your neighbor if you're close to someone and say, God wants to get all over you. Now, are you willing for God to come on? And if He comes on you and wants to do something, are you yielded to whatever He requests? Whatever He wants you to do. Okay? But notice there's a condition to receiving this promise. He said, tarry or wait in the city of Jerusalem. How long should you wait? Until what? Until you be endued with power from where? Woo! God wants to connect you with power from on high. He wants to light you up. He wants to churn your butter. He wants to shake your milkshake. He wants to add the drink mix to your water. He wants to start your mower. He wants you to put the pedal to the metal. He wants to light your fire. Okay? How long should you wait? You wait until you're endued with power. Okay? That means, endued means like something that comes on you like a garment. Okay? For this particular promise, at this particular time, they had to wait in Jerusalem. Okay? How long did they have to wait? How many days from the time Jesus rose to the day of Pentecost? 50 days, right? Penta is the word, is a root word for five. So, from the time Jesus rose, okay, He appeared to some people, right? I think for 40 days. And He's telling these guys to go and wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with power. He's sending the promise. Okay? Now, Hallelujah. So, they go to Jerusalem. Go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Okay? And so he's been showing himself for 40 days, okay? So let's just say they have at least 10 days where they're waiting until they're endued with power, okay? What are they doing in those 10 days? I'm glad you asked. That's a very good question, okay? They ask him, first of all, are they going to, verse 4 says, being together? Assembled together with them, he was with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. Okay? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. All right? So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is really an endowment of power. And they asked him about the end times. He said, it's not for you to know the end. Okay? And while they're talking with him, verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Okay? So they're talking to Jesus, and all of a sudden, couldn't see him anymore. He's gone. Okay? Now, what are they supposed to do? What did he tell them to do? To wait. Okay? If you're a person who loves God's promise, you're going to wait because he told you to wait. He didn't tell them what the promise was. Okay? He referred to it by being baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they had never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, so they did not know what to expect. But yet they had to wait in faith. Everybody say in faith. Okay? Now, verse 11, there's some angels there, and it says, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? You're not supposed to be gazing, you're supposed to be waiting. This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. When Jesus comes again, just like he promised, we're all going to see him descend. Okay? Verse 12. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So they had a day's journey to get to where they needed to be to receive the promise. All right? And verse 13, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Jude, he wrote a book in the Bible. James, he became pastor of Jerusalem. Verse 14, all continued with what? In prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So what are they doing while they're waiting? They're praying. They're supplicating. They're worshiping. They're engaging. They weren't sleeping. Were they? They were doing something spiritual to get something spiritual. Because God doesn't The natural man doesn't receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. You've got to be engaged. You've got to be a participant in a spiritual exercise. Prayer is spiritual exercise. Supplication. What is supplication? That's making specific requests, usually for the saints. So they're praying. Everybody say praying. They weren't sleeping, they were praying. They stopped gazing and they engaged in praying. Okay? Why? Because they had a promise that they were going to be endued with power. They did not know when it was going to happen. They did not know what was going to happen, but they prayed. They supplicated. And they were in one accord. In other words, there was unity, there was agreement. This person wasn't doing their agenda. This other person wasn't doing another agenda. They were doing the Lord's agenda. They were all together. 120. Okay? That would leave about 30 free seats in this room. Okay? And they took care of some church business. Okay? And while they're praying, while they're supplicating, while they're worshiping, all of a sudden, the day came when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place, just like we are tonight. Maybe something in your heart tonight told you, I've got to come to Wednesday night refreshing because there's something I've got to get there. Maybe you didn't know it, but the Lord brought you here on purpose so that He could pour out onto you His power, His love, His grace, His strength, His wisdom, His guidance, His knowledge. Hallelujah. So here they were, because of a promise. They had no other evidence. All they had was a promise. Wait in Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? It's because, listen, don't argue things with the master. If he tells you a place, just go to that place. You don't need to know why that place. Right? You don't need to know all the details. Because you're going to have to trust. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, woo, suddenly, all of a sudden, they're praying. They'd be like, did you hear that? Did you feel that? They're praying. And all of a sudden, God moved. There came a sound from where? Where did God say the power was going to come from? On high. So it would be absolutely necessary to hear a sound from heaven. Because that's where the power is coming from. Power always comes downward. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. What are you doing right now? You're sitting. You mean God can fill me when I'm sitting? Absolutely. And the sound came from, it filled the house. All right? All of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. It's like going from the kitchen to the cooler, or the cooler to the kitchen. You can sense the change in temperature quickly. Something in the atmosphere changed. The atmosphere was charged. It was like, woo! And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. There was fire just sitting on them. Okay? How many had fire on them? You mean there wasn't 115 with fire? All of them had fire. Okay? And the fire was just, it was just doing its thing. See, that does kind of sound like fire, doesn't it? Let's see. It sounds like a flame, doesn't it? Okay? It sat on each of them. Now, don't think that if I didn't put the flag over you that you're not included. Okay? I'm just giving you an illustration of what it was like. Okay? Now, they received promise because they were fully engaged. They weren't goofing around. They weren't thinking about the pot roast. You know? They weren't even looking at their clock because they didn't have a clock because they had sundials. Okay? They were sitting there waiting. Now, when you wait on God, your strength gets renewed. Okay? So, whenever you're in a service like this tonight, you must be fully engaged. Because if you're doing other things, you're going to miss what God is doing. Okay? It's like you're waiting for a ride, and your ride shows up, and before you get in the door, they hit the gas, and you didn't get inside. You missed your ride. That's what it's like when people are doing other things other than what God would want you to do. Listen, God's word demands your attention. He said, attend to my words. Okay? So when his word is going forth, you must be engaged. You must be attentive. You must be ready to move. Because you don't know what's going to happen next. It may happen suddenly. And they were all filled. They were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you know that the Holy Ghost can fill you? He's like the cream inside a Boston cream donut. He's like the fuel in your car. He's like the lemonade in your cup on a hot day. He can fill you. How does he fill you? He first comes on you, and then he rises up within you. But you got to be engaged. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. Didn't even have to think about it. They just started speaking. Who was speaking? They were. They were speaking in what? In tongues. What's a tongue? A language that you never studied, that you never learned. But all of a sudden, you are supernaturally enabled to speak. This was the power that God was talking about. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit was giving them the words, they were doing the talking. Okay? Now, this caught the attention of people. All right? They probably didn't have closed windows. There was a lot of people in Jerusalem at this time. All right? And when you get 120 people talking at once, it's going to create a noise level. Come on. And listen, it may attract some attention. Okay? And verse 12 of chapter 2, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what does this mean? Listen, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't always know what it means. Okay? It just means that you got some power that you didn't have before. All right? Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. Why would a person mock to say that they're full of wine if it didn't seem like it? Well, they were probably... Listen, when you're full of wine, it makes you act strange. They were days long, 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 long time ago that I was filled with wine. It makes you act strange. It makes you talk funny. It makes you wobble when you walk. Sometimes you even fall down. Some of you can relate to that. But thank God I was delivered from that. Peter stood up with the 11. And he lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and listen to my words, for they're not drunk as you suppose. He didn't say they weren't, did he? He just said they're not drunk as you think they are. He said it's only the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. Right? Apparently people didn't get drunk too often at 9 a.m. there. That's good. That means they're drinking for breakfast. They got a problem. But this is that which was spoken. Another way to say that, this is that which was promised. Long, long time ago, the Holy Spirit got a hold of Joel, and Joel spoke some words. He wrote them down that he was inspired to write down, and now... Many, many years later, God's bringing them to pass because his promises are good. What God promised will come to pass. Okay? This was the promise of the Father. Ephesians 1 says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Acts 2:33, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for this promise is to you and your children and all who are afar off. Galatians 3:14, we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. This is the promise of Pentecost. It's the promise of God's power coming on you and enabling you to speak and to act and to live for Him. And when the Holy Ghost comes on you, it is good. It is revitalizing. It is renewing. It is refreshing. It is empowering. It is enabling. It is emboldening. And he wants this for everybody. Everybody. So there's about five or six places, maybe more, that refers to this, the Holy Spirit, as the promise. God promised before he left this earth. Before Jesus left, he said, I give unto you another comforter, a helper, a standby, an advocate with the Father, a strengthener, a guide, a teacher, one just like me in divinity, just like me without limits, just like me because I'm God too. He said, before I leave, this was the second greatest gift that God gave to the believers, the Holy Spirit. After salvation, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's the baptism of fire. It's when the power of God just gets poured on you. God just says, whoosh. He takes a bucket and he begins to pour. And you feel it. Down your head, all the way to your toes. What were they doing before he came? They were what? They were praying, supplicating. What should we be doing? Let's do it right now. If you feel like standing, stand. If you feel like sitting, sit. But you need to be praying. You need to be crying out to God. You need to be calling out to Him. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You tonight, Father, because we hunger and thirst after righteousness. And Your Word says, You promise that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So, Father, I thank You for filling us right now with Your Holy Ghost and with Your fire. Fire! Fire from the Holy Ghost! Fire from the Holy Ghost! Holy fire! Just like fire that Elijah called down from heaven, you need the fire of God on you. You need the fire of God burning like fire shut up in your bones. Fire in your heart. Fire in your mind. Fire all over you. Fire. Fire. Fire will take you higher. Fire will warm you. Fire will light the way. Fire will draw you. Fire will purify you. Fire. Oh, Father, we thank You that You are a God that has more than enough. He's got more than enough healing. He's got more than enough grace. He's got more than enough strength. He's got more than enough peace. He's got more than enough help. He's got more than enough wisdom. Oh, Rabba Sonda, Rabba Rakosanda. Kia Rabba Kosanda. If you can pray in your Holy Ghost language, pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Why? You'll bypass your mind. Is there anybody here? You have never been baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, God wants to give it to you as a free gift. Come on up here. If I was to give you this phone, how would you take it? Now who has it? And that's exactly what God wants to do with the Holy Ghost. He's a gift. And He wants to give it to you. The Holy Ghost is a person. And He comes on you. Now, you have the, if you're born again, you're born again. Okay, you have the Holy Ghost when you're born again, but this is a secondary experience. It takes you deeper. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Father, for my sister Jean. And I thank You, Lord, that she receives the Holy Spirit. Just fill her, Father, with Your power and Your glory in the name of Jesus. Fill her up, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Sora boraka sonda. Yarabaroko sanda rabaroka sanda. Yarabaroto kosanda rabaroto kosanda. Yirama sonda rabarata kasanda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus.